From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Redwood City.
American Canyon.
San Francisco.
Vallejo.
I'm from Redwood City, so I guess I'm from the peninsula.
Coming up, we walk in the shoes of a foster child as he makes his way to college.
There was like a tag on his shoes. I'm a foster, and I'm a bad kid. You know, that's how people were looking into him.
Then there's strength in numbers when you're fighting writer's block.
I'm like a squirrel, I think. You know, I keep bringing things here and thinking every time I see somebody in my office or see somebody out in the world, I think, oh, this would help me write poems.
And a new play takes a comedic look at how we represent ourselves in the digital age.
Oprah is the mother of YouTube. History, I think, will look back and say ours was the time society gave up its secrets.
That's today on Cross Currents. Stay tuned. As the school year comes to a close, many high school seniors and their families are preparing for the next step on the academic ladder, college. And it's a chance to reflect upon the arduous application process. Just this year, there's been a dramatic increase of applications for the University of California. UC Berkeley accepted only 21% of its applicants for the fall, down from 28% last year. And for those hoping to get into Ivy League institutions, the chances are even slimmer. Harvard accepted less than 6% of hopeful high school seniors. The transition from high school to college is tough. And at Richmond High in the West Contra Costa School District, it's even tougher. The majority of parents there haven't been to college, and that can leave school counselors as one of the only bridges between high school and a higher education. KALW's Nina Nicole Morente spent time this last semester at Richmond High School. She follows 18-year-old Andre Taylor to see how the system is working to help him achieve his college dreams.
During school hours, there was always a police car parked just off the sidewalk that leads to the front doors of Richmond High. As you enter and walk past the auditorium and administration office, an iron fence stands between you and the rest of the school. Many students call it the prison wall. This is where more than 1,500 Bay Area teenagers receive their high school education.
Everyone's here. We have white people, a lot of Latino and Latina people, black people.
That senior, Andre Taylor, as an African American, he's part of the school's second biggest ethnic group. Richmond High is predominantly Latino at 75%.
I always talk to everyone, so it's people are really nice, and I love Richmond.
Mostly everybody knows Andre. He's gregarious, friendly. He hosted the school's multicultural night.
People here, for the most part, are really nice. Like, I didn't expect people to be really nice at first.
Many people don't. Richmond High is mostly known for gangs, violence, and low academic performance. Last year, only 19% of the students who took the high school exit exam passed in English. Only 18% passed for math. The school is also known nationally as the place where a 15-year-old girl was gang-raped in 2009 after a homecoming dance. Andre knows the dangers well. He was accosted his sophomore year. He was accused of living in the wrong part of town.
It's two guys come up to my friend and point guns at him. And it's like, where are you from? Blah, 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 blah. All that.
Andre wasn't physically hurt, but for about a year after that, he says he was afraid to leave the house. And the threat of violence was just one obstacle he's faced while growing up. The other is a lack of a stable home.
Well, I haven't been with my mother since I was one, and I've been in the actual foster care system since I was five. And, since then, moved to many homes, I think six or seven, but the one I'm in right now, I've been with them since I was eight. Mm-hmm. So going on the 10th year right now.
So what's it like being a foster child?
Before it was really bad. I was just ashamed to tell anybody. I still don't really tell anyone unless they ask me. But not that I'm not ashamed of it anymore. It's just like, if you don't ask me, I'm not just going to go out and say it.
When Andre was six, one of his foster mothers verbally, physically, and mentally abused him. He says the only good thing about the home was that it had books. He read and eventually wrote as a form of escape. In fact, he's dabbled in various art forms throughout his life.
I started off with acting when I was 3. And from acting, I went to drawing. From there, I went to writing and reading a lot.
And now he's almost through with high school. Andre's got a solid GPA, 3.6, and his SAT scores are 1530 out of 2400, slightly better than average. Andre wants to go to college, major in English, and become a teacher or professor. In November, he got started by sending in his college applications.
I've applied to 4 states, 4 UCs, and 5 private colleges. Harvard, Yale, University of Chicago, University of Southern California, and Sarah Lawrence.
Pretty lofty goals. Those include some of the most competitive schools in the country, and it would be a leap for a kid from Richmond High. About half of its students come from socially disadvantaged backgrounds, and only about half of its graduates go on to college. So there aren't a lot of people where Andre comes from who make it that far from home. Andre invites me to meet his family in central Richmond. He lives on a cul-de-sac where every yard has a fence and every house has a security alarm system. There aren't a lot of people walking around, but Andre's home is full.
My full name is Jose Jesus Ramos. Originally from from Mexico. I was born in Guadalajara and I was raised down in Tijuana. And I'm the guardian, the legal guardian of Andre, and I'm going to be in his life until he says that's it.
Ramos and his wife have been foster parents for 14 years. Altogether, including their biological sons, they live with 7 teenagers. The family keeps 2 diplomas visibly posted on the front table. They serve as an inspiration in the face of adversity. Foster kids graduate at a rate 10% lower than their classmates. Next month, Andre's diploma will be added to the display.
Well, I feel proud, okay, because let me just go back a little bit. When he came here and he was into the process of, you know, school, you know, middle school, I hear a lot of negative things about him. People were saying, no, Andre, when he turns 14, he's going to be in juvie. I was like, wow. Why? Because you say so?
I was suspended a lot of times from school for really dumb things.
5 suspensions. He says he was rambunctious in class, hard to handle.
And I was also in NSH classes for a while because mm-hmm. people thought that I needed to be in them.
What is NSH?
What does it stand for?
Non-severe handicap.
Non-severe handicap.
From grades 2 through 6, Andre was kept in classes for kids with special needs.
There was a tag on his chest. I'm a foster, and I'm a bad kid. You know, that's how people were looking into him.
Ramos says he tries to raise Andre with the understanding that when people tell you things about yourself, you have the power to prove them wrong. An 8th grade teacher did the same thing, and Andre started to turn his life around.
I think it's from my past when people were like, oh, you can't do this, you can't do that, you're mm-hmm. stupid, blah, blah, blah. That got to me, and I was like, you know what, I can do this. And I, this starts the whole house.
Andre and I head up to his room. The first thing I notice is a Justin Bieber poster.
I was going to ask you if you had any role models.
Oh, yeah. See, Fizz and Michael Jackson. And Justin Bieber now, but that happened because someone took me to a movie.
It made an impression. Andre wants to be a star, and he pursues his own artistic talents with weekly singing lessons. Andre, you're part of it. It's Wednesday after school. Andre is in downtown Richmond at the East Bay Center for the Performing Arts. He's on a full scholarship here, part of a program that helps low-income kids learn fine arts. He plans to try out for the TV talent show X Factor next year, when he feels more ready. He's got big dreams, artistic and academic, inspired by his family and the support he finds from teachers and counselors at Richmond High.
Hey, Miss Jen, I'm gonna go sign up for AP.
Oh, yeah.
Every school day, dozens of students filter through the College and Career Center.
I have a few kids that actually call me Mom. Yeah. I've adopted a few of them.
Angelica Arriaga works for a nonprofit called College is Real, which serves about 100 kids. Grants and donations cover its $100,000 budget, which pays for college tests and application fees. The program is one of four in the counseling center that helps students with college applications. Arriaga says many students don't enter Richmond High thinking that they will continue onto higher education.
I don't think that they're necessarily making the connection that they can go to school. They just see Richmond High as like a negative place that they should try to avoid.
Nicolita Peronomos works for two nonprofits, Destination College and the Early Academic Outreach Program. She splits her time between Richmond and neighboring De Anza High.
Consistency and follow through and like sincerity is really important, you know, and I think the problem with my position is that I'm in two places at once. And so kids don't care. They just want to see your face. They don't really care if you are like the most on-point college graduate. If you're there, that means a lot. Just being there physically, you know, that they can come to you, you know?
Krista Jan runs the counseling center, working with about a third of Richmond students, including Andre Taylor. She says part of her job is fundamentally convincing kids to aspire.
You know, just because I'm from an inner city school means all I can do is community college, or all I can do is go to a trade, or all I can do is work, but there's like different options open to them. And I like try to tell them is like, you know, the American dream, your parents want you to have more and better than what they have. And one of the ways you can do that is by educating themselves.
At the end of March, Andre went on a backpacking trip with a college prep program called Upward Bound. When he got back home, the letters from colleges had started to arrive. UC Berkeley, Andre's top choice, came first. He did not get in. He had a lot of applications out there.
I came back refreshed. I saw that, and it was bad news. And I just didn't worry about it. I was like, okay. And then I got rejected by four more schools that day. And it didn't hit me until I got rejected by the fifth out of the five I got rejected by, and I was like, dang.
Andre got into UC Merced, the only UC that had an increase in acceptances this year. He made plans to go there, warmed up to the idea. I dropped by to see him in mid-May.
What's new, Andre? Where are you going to college?
Well, I got accepted into UC Santa Barbara on Friday off the wait list, so I'm really excited about that. It was just amazing.
UC Santa Barbara is ranked by the U.S. News and World Report as one of the top 50 schools in the country. Getting in is something of a dream come true for Andre, but he wasn't sure. He'd be far from home, on his own, and he'd had trouble before when he didn't feel supported.
I talked to my foster dad, and he just said, "You're 18, Andre. You should be able to do whatever you want. You should be able to take whatever risk you want. And you will see in the end whether it was a good decision or not, but I want you to make that decision." I was like, okay. So that was that.
Andre Taylor will leave Richmond soon. He says he's loved his time here. It wasn't always that way, but with some help, he started to find himself. And he's got a chance now to become whatever he wants to be. In Richmond, I'm Nina Nicole Morente for Cross Currents.
We'd like to hear your experiences with the education system and your opinions on our stories. Listener Susan Kiter did that. She called us after hearing another one of our education stories that aired last month. It was about how California State University students reacted to a series of budget cut proposals by Governor Jerry Brown, which included a reduction to the state money that low and middle income college students receive through the program Cal Grant. Here's Susan Kiter's reaction to that piece by KALW's Fatima Duran.
I just wanted to applaud her reporting of the stories. It was crisp, concise. I happen to be a college counselor, and I learned so much from her story. I just really appreciated it, and I just wanted to send a kudos and express my appreciation both for Cross Currents, what I listen to. I'm commuting home at 5 o'clock right now, and also to Fatima specifically for her excellent job. That's it. Thanks so much. Bye.
That was Cross Currents listener Susan Kiter. You can share your opinions about any of our reporting, too. Just call us at 415-264-7106. That's 415-264-7106. Leave us a message and we might air it on the show. Coming up, a local support group is all about the art of writing.
I'm like a squirrel, I think. You know, I keep bringing things here and thinking every time I see something in my office or see something on the world, I think, oh, this would help me write poems.
That's coming up on Cross Currents. I'm Hana Baba, and joining me today is Ben Trefney, our executive editor here on Cross Currents. Hey, Ben.
Hi, Hana. How are you?
Hi. We're in the middle, or we're actually nearing the end of the KALW May Pledge Drive, and this is the final Cross Currents that you can pledge on, right?
Yeah, that's right. This is your last chance to become a member during Cross Currents. The phone number to call is 800-525-9917. Or online at kalw.org. Let me say again, Hana, this is the last chance you have to become
That's
a member
right.
during Cross Currents at 800-525-9917.
kalw.org is where you can go. And we are looking for 25 calls or clicks this hour.
That's right. We have a goal of $2,000 in this hour.
And it can happen. It can totally happen if you go right now to 800 to kalw.org or give us a call at 800-525-9917. 25 is totally reachable by 6 o'clock.
Oh, yes, because we do it together. You know,
That's
KALW
right.
is all about partnerships. Partnerships with Youth Radio, who we've been hearing from this week, with students from UC Berkeley and Mills College, who we work with quite a bit, and volunteers like Nina Nicole Morente, who made that great story there about that foster kid in the city of Richmond. Andre Taylor, it's a really inspirational story. You know, he has gone through a lot in his life. And Nina really got to know him during that story and to hear about his dreams and aspirations and eventually going to UCSB. I think that it's really pretty remarkable. And you know, it takes a team to help people get where they need to go. And we're all about team here at KALW. That's what we're about. And you are part of that team also. Please show your support at 800-525-9917.
KALW.org if you're online. That story was very touching. The story of a foster kid navigating the educational system in America.
Mm-hmm.
You don't hear that everywhere. You don't hear in depth like that.
To get to know him like that.
To get to know him and to follow up. She met him later on and just asked, you know, what's going on now?
That's right.
You don't get that kind of reporting everywhere, I must say. So support Cross Currents. Make that call right now. If you've been putting it off, that's okay. This is the time to do it.
Now's the time.
Now is the time to get involved. 800-525-9917. Call us now.
Or go online to kalw.org. If you check there and you hit the Donate Now button, then you will see there are a lot of different thank you gifts available for you at many different levels of support, whether you want our basic membership at $50, or you could start getting stuff at $75 or $80, or maybe a dollar a day, $365. Whatever it is, know that this is your last chance to become a member. Show your support for local independent news here at KALW News during Cross Currents at 800-525-9917.
Or at kalw.org. And we always love to hear from our listeners, like you heard the phone call from Susan Kiter in there. Our feedback line is always open. We listen to you, and we're happy that you're listening to us. We want to be connected with you. So come connect with us. Call 800-525-9917 and become a part of our family, really, here at Cross Currents.
Yeah, and talk with real volunteers who are in the studio right now. I see a line is open, and you could tell them what you want to hear and what you like and what you don't like so much here at KALW. We're open to it all at 800-525-9917. And I really appreciate it also. You know, Nina's a great volunteer we have. So is Fatima Duran, who is another person who, she's a student at USF. She's actually finishing her degree right now. She's going to come back in June, which is terrific. And she did a great story that was looking at Cal Grants, which is something that's being affected by the state budget right now. There are so many issues going on with a $16 billion deficit that the state is facing. We've been covering that in detail on Cross Currents. And Fatima looked at that angle because she's a student and she knows what's going on with Cal Grants and the difficulty that a lot of struggling students, people who are struggling to pay their bills, like the Andre Taylors of the world, have to get a higher education.
Right.
You learn about that on KALW. You need to have local independent media to cover these kinds of things, and KALW is where you get it. So please take a second and become a member supporter at 800-525-9917.
We need 25 calls or clicks during this hour. We need to make $2,000, and we know we can make it with your help and with your pledge right now. 800-525-9917 is the number to call or go to kalw.org.
And thank you very much for your support. If you become a member, we really appreciate it. If you're thinking about it, well, let's check out the next story because we're going right back to the show.
And now it's time to meet your neighbors.
I like like my neighbors. I like my neighbors.
In San Francisco's SoMa district, some of the Bay Area's best wordsmiths rent space and work in a place called the Writer's Grotto. Behind each door are fiction writers, memoirists, journalists, and poets. It's a place where individuals, working very much alone, can come together to form a collective consciousness. KALW's Ben Trefney has the story.
The San Francisco Writer's Grotto. It's not a grotto, really. A grotto's a cave, or something like a cave. This is just a floor in a nondescript office building. It's 31 offices surrounding a conference room where a few dozen people can sit sort of comfortably. From the hallways, each office door looks about the same. What makes this place special, though, is what's behind each door.
Hello?
Hi, I'm Ben Trefney from KALW.
Ethan Waters.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Ethan Waters co-founded the Grotto in 1994 with fellow writers Poe Bronson and Ethan Kanan.
You know, this idea of sort of working alone as a writer just would never have worked for me, certainly. It would never have worked.
So they started a collective, a place for six writers to work, then nine, then 21. And now nearly 60 writers are members of the Grotto.
Yes?
My name is Todd Oppenheimer, and I'm one of the older members of the Grotto here. I'm a nonfiction guy.
Wrote a book called The Flickering Mind about the negative effects of technology on education. He's got the best office.
My office, I'm lucky. I have the corner office, and so we like to call it the principal's office. If anybody gets in trouble, they have to come see me.
Which isn't all bad. In fact, that's part of why writers work here, to get and give advice. Waters, for example, just got commissioned by The New Yorker.
It's my first piece for them, so I'm feel like I'm in over my head, and I'm very excited about it. But it's new territory for me.
But not new for his neighbor down the hall, who's written for The New Yorker.
A profile of a master bladesmith who specialized in kitchen knives.
So I'll take my pieces almost always to Todd Oppenheimer, to Laura Fraser.
My name's Laura Fraser, and I'm a writer, and I also teach writing. And I've written probably thousands of magazine articles for everyone from The New York Times, Gourmet, Oprah, Vogue, to like stories about how to decorate with ottomans for Ladies' Home Journal.
The backgrounds and interests of the other writers here are just as diverse.
So I'm Christopher Cook. I'm an author and journalist here at the Writer's Grotto.
Janice Cook Newman. I'm a novelist.
Jenny Bittner, and I'm a writer, and I also teach English as a second language.
Matthew Zapruder, I'm a poet. There's always a little pause in my soul before I say that I'm a poet, because it's a strange thing to say, especially in this world.
But he is. He's published three collections of poetry, which say things like this.
I examine my feelings without feeling anything. I ride my blue bike on the edge of the desert. I am president of this glass of water.
That last line is written on a drawing of a glass of water. It's one of many odds and ends in Zapruder's office.
I keep bringing things here. I'm like a squirrel, I think. You know, I keep bringing things here and thinking every time I see something in my office or see something out in the world, I think, oh, this would help me write poems, and so I bring it back.
Which makes his office pretty cluttered. So is Ethan Waters' office. But his 13 by 18 foot space is packed with exercise equipment.
I've bought a walking desk. You can see this is a treadmill. It's not actually technically walking. It's just a treadmill, and I can read on it. I can also, while I'm on the phone, I could walk, you know, walk while I'm on it. I got that sort of massage chair, and I got my sitting ball.
Down a different hallway of the Writer's Grotto, I meet
Bridget Quinn, nonfiction writer.
So you have an exercise ball here in homage to Ethan Waters. Tell me about that.
Well, to Ethan and to all the active people in the Grotto, there's exercise balls. There's actually a couple of treadmills. There's weightlifting. And so we just have it sitting here as a kind of touchstone of our connection to this physical yet intellectual place.
Does anybody sleep here?
I have heard of people sleeping here. I don't know if I should name names.
Heather Donahue has slept here.
Come on in. Welcome to the Lady Cave.
Donahue starred in the groundbreaking movie The Blair Witch Project in 1999. Then she left Hollywood to grow medical marijuana. an experience she recounts in her book Grow Girl, which was written in this narrow windowless room painted dark red.
The color's called antique ruby. I do spend a lot of time staring at the walls, so I like to have them be pretty.
Every office is a glimpse into a writer's character.
Do you use all these things?
I do. You know, the walking, the treadmill has been...
Let's see. Come over to the treadmill.
So, you start it up. It has a little beeping sound. You can set it at any speed you want. And I've even experimented with putting my computer up here and typing. Typing and walking is a thing that I have yet to master.
Practically everyone here has something inspiring or unusual in their workspace.
My name is Julia Scott. And I'm a radio producer and freelance magazine writer here at the San Francisco Writer's Grotto. I have an image of Superwoman on my bulletin board.
I don't know how anyone writes anything without a wall full of cork.
Can you tell me about this? Because it looks like you're walking into this scene.
Yeah.
So this I think you should keep walking. Yeah.
The thing to make coffee with is the most important thing, the coffees.
Outdated federal yellow book directories.
Okay, you can probably stop walking if you want. Thank you for doing that, though.
Writing is hard. It's a wrestling match with your mind. Understanding how an external space works can help young writers learn to refine their internal thoughts.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, though, because you get to see people's offices and you get to see. I mean, I was in somebody's office and I was like just kind of checking out like how they organize their files, what kind of pens they use, just to be like, OK, because there's sort of no system of how do you do it? How do you work as a writer and how do you keep all your things organized?
My rule is pretty doable. It's 500 words a day or 2 hours of editing, and I have to meet that every day. And sometimes I get to 15 minutes before lunch and I have very little done, but I always make it happen by then, which tells me a lot of it is just a head game.
My name is Liza Boyd, and I'm a journalist. I write for Fast Company and fastcompany.com, and my byline is E.B. Boyd.
Of all the writers I see today, Boyd seems least attached to stuff. Besides her writing gear, all she has with her is a jar of almond butter. She says inspiration for her comes from the people who are here.
Every now and then will people gather together and hang out and shoot the but that's also part of what makes this a really great place is that, you know, we all sort of are in our offices and working by ourselves, and then we get together, whether it's at lunch or maybe at the end of the week, and sit and talk and share ideas, and sort of there's a huge sort of creative energy and interchange, which then sort of goes back and influences what we do.
Around 1 o'clock every day, the writers gather at tables in the central conference room. It's lively, a social outlet for sharing stories, tips, or simply friendship.
No one ever, they put up a sign, but nobody did that.
It's great to be able to go out and have lunch, and I learn something new at lunch every day.
Noodle soup. For sale. This is what it contains.
We got a good San Francisco Chronicle.
You know, if you're a poet, you can spend the whole day sort of walking around, picking things up and looking at them and putting them down and occasionally writing a little bit. And to be around writers who are focused and disciplined and think of longer projects and have to go to work every day and write for hours and hours, it's been a very positive experience for me as a writer. Plus, just having an office outside of my apartment is pretty great, so I don't freak out.
Writers do freak out. That's why the Grotto was created in the first place. Three guys who wanted to know that they weren't alone every once in a while. At the San Francisco Writers Grotto, I'm Ben Trefney for Cross Currents.
You can get to know more members of the San Francisco Writers Grotto at KALW.org. Ben conducted interviews with 11 of them, and while we don't have time to play them all here for you, here's a sample.
Yasser Arafat was one of the most charming people I've ever met in my life. But still, it was really creepy. I was taking pictures with, you know, an old camera, film camera, that did an automatic rewind. And I was at the end of my roll, and it started making these rewind sounds, and suddenly I had like 5 Uzis pointed at me. I was like, okay guys, it's just my camera. You can have it. Just put the guns down, please.
The backstory behind the creative minds at San Francisco's Writer's Grotto. All interviews are online at KALW.org. Coming up, how much of what you see online is really true?
Oprah is the mother of YouTube.
History, I think, will look back and say ours was the time society gave up its secrets.
That's coming up on Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba, and joining me is Ben Trefney, our executive editor on Cross Currents, who just reported that story. That was him. Ben, what an amazing kind of story. And it felt like we were there with you, going from room to room and knocking on the doors and meeting these people. And that's kind of what Cross Currents is about.
That's right. Yeah, we you know, I always want to bring people right into the story. I want to bring them into the room under that second story office at the Writer's Grotto. And, you know, we have the creative license to be able to do stories like that here at Cross Currents, and you can't hear stories like that everywhere on the dial, you know? I mean, KALW is a very special place that allows you to have stories like that one and get to know your neighbors right here in the Bay Area. You know, we're in a membership drive right now, and this is the last chance you have to become a member during Cross Currents, so please do support this kind of broadcasting at 800-525-9917 or online at KALW.org. And we have a special gift when you go there to KALW.org, Hannah.
We do have a special gift, absolutely. And it's for the writer in you, or, you know, sometimes you're a writer, you're a poet, you get writer's block. We have a book called 642 Things to Write About. 642, not one, not two, not three.
And it's produced by the San Francisco Writer's Grotto.
By the people you just heard from. And 642 Things to Write About. For example, Pen and Ode to an Onion. You are a pirate. Describe your perfect day. Write a love letter to a person you dislike. So it gets your juices, creative juices flowing. It gets your mind working. And it's just, it's basically a journal. It just gives you the idea and then empty lines for you to fill in mm-hmm. with your creativity.
It's $100 at KALW.org. Become a member at the $100 level of KALW, online at KALW.org, or by phone at 800-525-9917. And the people who were in that story that you just heard, they put together this book, 642 Things to Write About. And you know what, Hannah? They actually have classes at the Writer's Grotto. Mm-hmm. They teach you about all kinds of different things. There's terrific people there. Rob Bedecker, he's not in that story there, but he's from Casper Hauser Comedy Troupe. There are just a wealth of people who are there. Matthew Zapruder, who I met, he's the poet in that story. You know, he has this line in there that I really appreciate, and it has to do with becoming a member. So I wanted to take a second while you call 800-525-9917 or go to KALW.org. He said, you know, if you're a poet, Hannah, you can spend the whole day sort of walking around and picking things up and looking at them and putting them down. Mm-hmm. Well, you could spend weeks listening to KALW and hearing people ask for you to become a member and just saying, yeah, well, maybe sometime. Well, now's the time.
This is
now,
the time.
Now is the time. If you like that story, if you want this book, if you would like to support local public radio, please, right now, pick it up, that phone, at 800-525-9917.
And this is an awesome gift for that writer in your life, a young person who likes to write. Get this page. Write the lyrics of a rap song. They must include a cop, a bad drug bust, and a dog.
No, I don't think I could do that right away. But I could think about it and write about it for
right,
sure.
Right. Fix the plot of the worst movie you've ever seen. How many of those do we have? 800-525-9917. Give us a call right now.
Or online at KALW.org. Or if you just support the San Francisco Writer's Grotto, you like the people there, maybe you're one of those people there, please support local media here in the Bay Area at KALW by calling 800-525-9917. We're going right back to the show, but go online to KALW.org.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Today, one of the most watched videos on YouTube is that of a Lamborghini crashing while making a left turn in a suburb of Chicago.
I got that on video. This is going on YouTube.
It was posted 4 days ago, and it's already been watched 6,476,789 times. It's an example of how easy it is to tell stories to the world. Anyone with a smartphone can make a video and then post it to the internet. But in the era of Mike Daisy fabricating facts for his stories about Apple factory workers in China...
And because the other things that Mike told us about Apple and about Foxconn seemed to check out, we saw no reason to doubt him, and we dropped this. We didn't try further to reach the translator. That was a mistake.
Or the one-sided nature of the recent Kony videos.
What do I do for a job?
I stop the bad guys from being mean.
Can I tell you the bad guy's name?
Yeah.
This is the guy, Joseph Kony.
He's the bad guy?
Yeah.
We have to start asking ourselves how real these real-world videos are. What's going on outside the frame of a YouTube video? What's true? And who decides? These are the central questions of Forward, Life Gone Viral, a new play at the Marsh Theater in San Francisco. It uses Oprah Winfrey, Russian spies, viral videos, cancer, YouTube, and robotic flies on the wall to look at what revealing yourself to complete strangers does to the people you know and who know you the best. KALW's Julie Kane brings us the story.
The backdrop is simple. A nondescript desk and an office chair sit on an otherwise bare stage.
I pulled up your information.
Two actors, Jerry Lynn Cohen and Charlie Varon, are having a conversation. Cohen plays an oncologist and Varon plays her patient. He's been diagnosed with terminal cancer, but there's been a mistake.
I'm not... You don't have cancer? It's a benign mass. We can just keep our eye on it.
Enter the third character of the play, a wildly popular homemade YouTube video. It features a dying man telling his viewers to let go of blame and to do exactly what they want to do with their lives, completely guilt-free. It's been watched by 1.2 million people, including Varon's character, who, up until a few minutes ago, thought he was about to die.
How did he know that I needed to stop blaming myself? And how did he get to 1.2 million views in a week if he's unknown? I mean, I think I'm going to make a video. I mean, people are taking this guy's advice. They're selling their houses. He said, I am going on a hot air balloon ride over three continents, and you should do whatever you want to do before you die.
You must be talking about that cancer of blame video.
Oh, of course, you've seen it.
Cohen, the doctor, knows that video very well. It was made by her ex-husband, Donald, and she's quick to point out the inaccuracies of her ex's video message.
It's easy to say, oh, children are the most important thing, and then people watch, and they think, oh, the poor father. He cannot remember to pick up his kids on the weekend. He doesn't know when his son's birthday is. You know, oh, family, it's the most important thing. Well, if it's the most important thing, then don't cheat on your wife.
Oh, my.
How do you define family, Donald?
Without ever leaving the stage, Varon and Cohen use accents and body language to transform themselves into a total of 8 different characters, including ex-spouses, a Russian spy, and the new vice president of public relations for the Susan Komen Foundation. In this scene, Varon plays Donald, the doctor's ex-husband who made the cancer of blame video.
I get 200 emails a day thanking me for my video, to which I say, don't thank me, thank Oprah. Oprah is the mother of YouTube. History, I think, will look back and say, ours was the time society gave up its secrets.
We are this culture of spilling our secrets now.
Varon, who co-wrote this play with Cohen and director David Ford, says this is the central theme of the play. It first occurred to him a few years ago when someone forwarded him a YouTube video called The Last Lecture, Really Achieving Your Childhood Dreams.
If you had one last lecture to give before you died, what would it be?
It's a talk given by 47-year-old Professor Randy Pausch, who knew he only had a few months left to live. In the video, Pausch stands at a lectern and shows slides of his CAT scans.
If you look at my CAT scans, there are approximately 10 tumors in my liver.
And he then drops to the ground, does several push-ups, and springs back to the microphone to deliver his message.
We cannot change the cards we are dealt, just how we play the hand.
Randy Pausch died a few months after the lecture, but the video has had more than 14 million views.
Last-minute exhibitionism.
That's the name Varon has for these end-of-life videos. But actor Jerry Lynn Cohen has a different take.
I totally get it. I'm a cancer survivor, and I have seen this time and again with friends of mine, members of my support group, the need to tell your story. The need to share it. There's something very healing in that.
Right, but 20 years ago, you could share it, but you wouldn't be sharing it with strangers necessarily. It's so easy to share it with strangers.
That's true. But I understand the desire to do it, and I don't necessarily think of it as exhibitionism.
And this is why we have a play, is this tension right here.
That's David Ford, who co-wrote and directed the play. He says this tension led them to look more closely at the instantaneous nature of the internet and how it affects the way we understand and live our lives.
In an age of information, the truth is, you got to look very hard to find the truth. But there's lots of information, but the two are not necessarily synonymous.
So in a way, it feels like we've been swimming for a while in this digital age, and maybe what we're doing is taking a little beaker of the water that we've been swimming in and kind of holding it up to the light and saying, what is this? What is this we're now swimming in? What is this water? What is this world that now we take for granted?
Everybody looking. This was police state. And now you want to ask me, Kolya, how can you do spying?
One of Varon's characters in the play is a Russian entrepreneur. He helps the ex-spouses spy on each other with tiny mechanical drones that look like flies. Because he grew up in the former Soviet Union, he knows all about being watched. He says the digital age is all about a new kind of big brother, one who watches you while you watch others, and all for one ultimate purpose.
Google, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, all the great internet success stories. How do they make their money? Surveillance. They collect information on you. Not for police state. For advertising state.
And in the advertising state, it seems whatever gets the most views, whether it's exaggerated, edited down, or just plain made up, can become the truth. In San Francisco, I'm Julie Kane for Cross Currents.
If you're in the arts community, be sure to send us your events. Post on our Facebook page, it's KALW News. Coming up, we meet local artist Quinn DeVoe, who can both excite and relax you.
You know how you have that second stomach for dessert? You know, it's like, it's really a separate thing when you're moving to good soul music.
That's coming up on Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. With me is Ben Trefney, our executive editor on Cross Currents. This is the May Pledge Drive, and today is the last chance for you to support Cross Currents during this drive.
That's right. So become a member right now, if you please, at 800-525-9917. That's 800-525-9917. We have a goal of 19 more calls in this hour.
Or clicks.
That's right. At KALW.org. That's 14 minutes, 19. That's a little bit more than 1 minute. But if you call right now, then you're going to help us get to that goal. And that goal is going to get us an extra $750 now, thanks to Frances Varnhagen. We really appreciate it. But she's only going to give that $750 if you become a member right now. So let's say you give $50 at the basic membership level. That $50 could be worth $800, but only right now at 800-525-9917. The last chance during Cross Currents, during the membership drive to become a member.
The last chance to support Cross Currents. You've been listening to us every day, Monday through Thursday, 5 o'clock, religiously for the past, you know, since 2008, since we've been on. And you've kind of put it off a little bit. I will give next pledge time. This is the chance to do it. 800-525-9917.
This is the last chance to do it.
It's the last chance to do it in this pledge drive. And we'd like to thank William Tadler from Menlo Park, who did pledge just a couple of minutes ago and said he loves the first story he heard today on Cross Currents. And that's what it's all about, really, connecting with you, the listener, on that personal level.
So if you, like him, have enjoyed anything you've heard on Cross Currents today or over the last few years, please show your support right now. Now's the time at 800-525-9917. That first story was about a foster kid in Richmond named Andre Taylor. This last story we just heard was about an artist at the Marsh named Charlie Varon. We're next going to hear about a guy, a musician named Quinn DeVoe, who played at our live Cross Currents event
last December.
We are all about people here at KALW, and we have live people in the volunteer room ready to take your call. I see that Matt Martin, our station manager, is sitting in there right now, ready to take your call at 800-525-9917. It's about people. We're talking to you, too. We are a human audience, and we're humans just asking you right now, please support local public radio at 800-525-9917.
Or kalw.org.
Time is running out.
Time is running out. We only have 11, 12 minutes left for the show. If you enjoy Cross Currents and the reporting you hear on Cross Currents, if you support that, give us a call right now. Don't delay it any further. And you know you've been meaning to do it.
That's right. You've been meaning to do it. Call 800-525-9917. And we have, you just heard about Life Gone Viral, Charlie Varon's show. We have 5 pair of tickets to go see that show at the Marsh. It's $80 for a pair. $80 for a pair of tickets to Charlie Varon's Life Gone Viral at the Marsh Theater. And now is the time because we have our $750 challenge grant. What more could we offer you aside from the great programming, humans in the volunteer room, our station manager, and tickets to Charlie Varon?
I see. $80. Someone's picking up the phone.
Please,
we need you to call too.
Please become a member. $80 gets you Charlie Varon with Life Gone Viral. And it'll also help us get to our $750 challenge, 800-525-9917.
Or KALW.org. Or if you pledge at the $100 level, we can send you the awesome book, 642 Things to Write About, written for you by the San Francisco Writers Grotto. We met some of them earlier in the show. You can go online to KALW.org. While you're donating, you can go on to listen to more of these people and meet more writers from the Grotto.
Because my interviews, the profiles of these 11 different writers from the San Francisco Writers Grotto, they are only online, exclusively online at kalw.org. Check it out while you're there. Pick up that book, 642 Things to Write About, or the tickets to Life Gone Viral at the Marsh Theater. But do it now because we need to get to our $750 goal and we need your call or click to do it. 800-525-9917. We're about to go right back to the show. Go to kalw.org. We need about 15 more calls or clicks. Please do it now while you listen to the next story.
Oakland-based singer-songwriter Quinn DeVoe is one part city, one part country. When he plays with his band, the Blue Beat Review, he taps into Ray Charles and plays the savvy band leader, burning his way through tune after tune and keeping his audience dancing late into the night. When he plays solo, he's more like a Robert Johnson. Listening to his recordings, you can almost see him rocking on his porch, plucking away at his guitar, and telling stories to the passing tumbleweeds. But with or without a band, DeVoe's music always captures an ease, a joy, and a purity that ties it all together. For this edition of Bay Area Beats, he sat down with KALW's Jamie Katsoufis to talk about the retro sound of his group, the Blue Beat Review, and his creative process.
Half of the time, the music chooses you. It's just like kids, you know, they're all just kids. And you're birthing them and you're trying to help them grow, you know. I don't have any kids, but I imagine it's similar to raising kids, just in terms of, in some ways you're leading, in some ways you're following, you know. So it's just really kind of, you know, being loose enough to flow with it. the times when I do go after a certain sound, yeah, it just depends on what it is. It could be a modern sound or an old sound, you know, or just some beat that I feel like just really needs to be revisited.
Well, my baby, coming home tomorrow. Ain't that good news? Lord, ain't that news?
When I write the stuff for the Blue Beat Review, it tends to be a bit more, you know, about love and about, loss of love and things like that, you know, just because that's the sort of genre, you know. I mean, what I would really like to do, what I am doing is sort of moving away from that into, you know, using the same genre, but moving into topics like life or death, or just stories, or you know, things that are atypical of that genre. You know, for now, you know, we're pretty much just sticking with love.
I'm gonna have a party at the station. Ain't that good news? Lord, ain't that news?
I think there's definitely a trend towards old-time music, you know, with Sharon Jones and, like, Fits and the Tantrums and things. But I think that there's a hole in pop music right now. I think, you know, there's a hole in the soul.
Come and go.
Come and go.
Come and go, child.
Come and go.
Come and go.
Come and go.
Lord, where I'm bound.
Where I'm bound.
Come and go.
Come and go.
Come on, darling.
Come and go.
Because I'm not so much into hip-hop and sort of neo-soul, I mean, you know, there's some, I love Erykah Badu, I love D'Angelo and different things, but the root of that, the root of, like, you know, these amazing, you know, soul love songs is gospel. There's something about gospel music, because the people who are singing that music, you know, they're singing about life and death, you know, which is deeper than love. The thing that those guys were going for was just this deep thing. It's at the center of the earth, man. You know, I don't know exactly what it is, but that's the thing that I want, really. I'm just keep trying to dig and get to it. I sort of have this idea of, when I get older, I don't want to dance around, you know, like Mick Jagger. So I just see myself, you know, just traveling around to festivals, playing guitar. I got my dog in the truck, and, you know, I just toss the guitar in the back, and, you know, we're just, you know, barreling through the country. You know, I show up and, you know, entertain the folks with me and my guitar, and then be on my way.
And hang around your mother. She's a cold bloodhound.
You can catch Quinn DeVoe tonight at a special 5-year anniversary concert for KALW's Fog City Blues. He'll be playing along with Tin Cup Serenade and Panique Gypsy Jazz at Viracocha in San Francisco's Mission District. You can find more information at our website, KALW.org.
And the dark sky above us, and the earth made of stone.
I'm Hannah Baba. Joining me is Ben Trefniere, executive editor on Cross Currents, in the final minutes of supporting Cross Currents this pledge drive.
Oh my gosh, Hannah, we have 15 calls or clicks to go for us to get our $750 bonus from Francis Varnhagen. We really need that money. This is our membership drive. This is where we get our listener support. We're 75% listener supported. That means you. You're listening. I'm listening. I'm a member, Hannah.
I'm listening. I'm a member.
That's right. Are you listening, and are you a member? We really appreciate people who become new members. If you've already called or clicked, thank you very much. If you've not, now is the time. You have 3 minutes left in Cross Currents during this whole membership drive. This is the last chance.
This is your last chance to support Cross Currents during this drive, so do it. Do it, do it, do it now. 800-525-9917.
Or go online to kalw.org. I want to thank Kate Jordan from San Francisco, who already pledged this year, but she wanted the lunch tray t-shirt, which is yours at $75.
If you call 800-525-9917.
Here's Paul Ruckhaus from Berkeley. He says, great programming produced by real people. That's right, I'm real, Hannah.
But you got to call 800-525-9917.
How about Beth Eckenrod, new member from Daily City, likes to listen to the local news. Hey, BBC News, Fresh Air is a favorite.
That's awesome. 800-525-9917.
And Christopher Keene, new member in San Francisco, likes BBC programming as it happens in silent pledge drives. Well, if you've been listening to KALW, you know we are hardly getting in the way of anything. In fact, we're not breaking into All Things Considered or Morning Edition or any of your favorite shows at all. Because we know that's not why you're here. But you have to realize that if we're listener supported, we need your support right now. Your last chance during Cross Currents, 800-525-9917.
An $80 pledge will get you two tickets to Forward Life Gone Viral that you heard about in the show. A $100 pledge will give you the San Francisco Writer's Grotto Journal, 642 things to write about. But really, you can get your gifts. You can get anything you want from the website, KALW.org. But what this really is about is you joining a community of people that are like you, that that have your interests. We live here. The stories are local. If you support that, give us a call right now in this final minutes, 800-525-9917.
Or online at kalw.org. You have about 1 minute left during Cross Currents in this membership drive. 800-525-9917. Online at kalw.org.
I see some phones ringing over there, but there's still, we can... Oh, there we go. There's another one. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. 800-525-9917. There is still time to support Cross Currents. Thank you so much, Ben, for joining me.
It's my pleasure, Hannah. Thank you.
Thank you. And we will give it back to controls. Thank you for listening. And we'll see you next time on Cross Currents.